And we're live.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another podcast of Masters of the Galaxy podcast. I am Brian Ozone, and with me this week is Aaron. What's up, brother?
Hey, what's happening, Ozone? How's it going, buddy?
I'm doing pretty damn good. How about you?
Hey, not too shabby, man.
Good, good, good. So, this week's been a little quiet, with the Masters of the Universe related, Thundercats, stuff like that. It's kind of like the backlash of the toy fair, so it's kind of quiet, but we'll try to make this episode pretty interesting for those who are listening.
Sure, good deal. Yeah, I think Lexington had a Comic-Con this past week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think so. Some of the members of the group had posted some pictures. I think they did. Lexington did a Comic-Con, and some of those guys went and was sharing some of the just cool stuff that they picked up at a pretty cool price, and that was awesome to see some classics out there.
Oh, beautiful. So they got what, classic, the newer figures or like the vintage figures?
Well, what I saw, it was just, one person that was posting in the group, Samantha McKee and Travis Cook, they had gone down and picked up a Castle Grayskull. I think they picked up like three or four other classics figures, and they got them all for $300. So it was just absolutely solid. I mean,
yeah,
good pickup.
Definitely, because what, Grayskull alone is $300, right?
Yeah. So out with the castle and have some people to populate it as well. You did all right.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, that was a good pickup. So Lexington, where exactly on the map is that?
It's in Kentucky.
Kentucky. Okay.
Yep. It's University of Kentucky, UK, is in Lexington. That's my son goes to UK, and so
beautiful.
I had no idea that was going on because that would have been a good weekend to go visit. You know.
Yeah, without a doubt. See the family and buy some toys. It's always
there.
Good.
You go.
It's always a good weekend. That's pretty cool. Those cons that pop up, the little ones are really, really good. There's one in Long Island up here in New York. It's called Eternal Con. And last year I went for the first time, and I had no expectations, at all. I went with some, a couple of dollars, not a lot in my pocket. And
oh, Brian, you get that Ozone money.
Dude, it wound up that I had to go get the Ozone money because it was that good. I mean, there was so many cool vendors, and I went on Sunday. It was the last day, so you always get the better prices the last day because nobody wants to take anything home. They want to get rid of everything.
Yeah, no need to pack it back up when Brian Ozone's around.
Right. So, I mean, it was awesome. I mean, me and my son went. We met Greg the Hammer Valentine, and he was just great. I picked up a lot of cool stuff. And again, the lesser known cons, sometimes you strike out like big time, man. You can really find great deals and great stuff. I'm really looking forward this year to going back to Eternal Con. So anybody in the New York area that listens, I don't remember the date, but it's actually going to be at the new Nassau Coliseum this year. I believe I saw it on Facebook the other day. So check it out, man. I mean, they had everything. I mean, my son last year, he actually took like a Star Wars Padawan lesson. He became with the lightsaber. He got like certified.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was like a dude that looked just like Obi-Wan Kenobi from the original Star Wars trilogy movies. It was really, really cool.
You mentioned Greg the Hammer Valentine. What was interesting too, I think at this one in Lexington, this Comic-Con they did, they met Jake the Snake Roberts. So they had their picture made with him.
Awesome.
That was cool that he was there.
Yeah.
And there was a couple of other crazy people. Michael Rooker was there. I know was in one of the pictures. I think there was some kind of tie into The Walking Dead too, maybe.
Really? Cool. Yeah. I mean, like I said, the lesser-known Comic-Cons, for some reason, they're just really, really good. I mean, I've been to some that completely was a waste of time and money, but you really can get some good deals at some of them because you never know who's going to be at them. If you like wrestling, you never know. Jake the Snake, like you said, was this past weekend. I met Greg the Hammer at a couple. You just meet some people that you never think you'd ever see, and You know, I mean, even though Greg the Hammer Valentine hasn't really been relevant in the last probably 20, 30 years, I mean, you know, as a kid growing up in the 80s, you know, he was pretty popular, 70s and stuff like that. So it was cool, you know. Yeah. So with that being said, I guess we can go into one of the topics that we're going to talk about today is like, you know, well, Filmation, out of all the canons, I believe, has the most like racist classifications of people. But like, you know, like we could talk about, you know, like Trap Jaw. Well, Trap Jaw is part Gar, and you know, so he's pretty much established, we can say, like, or known. But then you got guys like Cyclone. Well, again, he's a Gar, but. Are there other, do you think like there are other people just like him? Do you think is, 'cause he's a Gar as well.
Yeah,
And
I mean, I think that too. I wonder, like, and I've speculated over in the past as far as like Beast Man, for example. Okay, do you
okay.
have a whole race of beast men, and this is just a beast man, or is he the beast man, or you know? So I don't know. In his early depiction, I think in the Alcala style, you know, he's this red, you know, beast of a
Yeah.
man. And so I never associated that, I guess, with having a race. But then when you get into NYP and some of that stuff, you know, then they kind of set it up that there are a race of those characters, you know, and I don't know on Beast Man, but I was thinking of Clawful and
Right.
some of those
Right.
folks.
Yeah. Like, yeah, there's cousins or
Yeah.
whatnot. That one episode, right? Yeah.
Yeah, they make a clicking noise, call them out, you know, hey, man.
But that's it. That's what makes it like wonder. It's you know, like I'm gonna bring up Cyclone. Like, is Cyclone so like? Is he a like? Is he is? Are there other types? Do you think like of Gars? Is like Cyclone a part of like an army type guy? Because like he's like the security of Anwar Gar. So. Are there other security type cyclones out there? I mean, like, what happened to them? Like, stuff. Like, what do you like? Speculations. Like, what do you think?
Well, with Cyclone, there's a couple, I guess, of different things that the 2002 series kind of did him a little bit different. But I know early on in some of those stories, he was a circus acrobat. So he's like, he was
Right,
the
right.
human tornado, and you know,
That's right.
Skeletor hits him with the Meccano ray, and it just, you know, whatever. So I guess Skeletor in that telling kind of made him who he was. So I never would associate, I guess this is just one random person, kind of like Manny Faces, where it's an actor who got turned into this thing.
Right.
Where you get into 2000 X with Cyclone, or 2002 NYP, whatever you want to call it. I think that the mystery of Anwar Gar, where he was the defender, he was the final defender of this ancient race. So
Right.
they kind of touched on it in Eternity Wars, which I thought was crazy because there, when we went to Anwar Gar, then you got a whole race of those people. So it was easier to say, okay, well, Cyclone came from this bunch of people because they're all blue skinned and they're all, you know.
All right. Aaron, you there?
Yeah, I got you.
Oh, sorry. All right.
Oh, you good, bro?
Yeah, I mean, see, that's the question. It's like, are there, because even through all the canons, all the cartoons, comics, whatnot, the only blue skinned people we ever saw was, well, Skeletor, Cyclone, and Trapjaw, Cronus. It's just always like it's just struck me weird. Like, are there what happened? Like, what happened to them? Where are they?
What's their backstory? What went on with them?
Right. Are there others? Like, why did they just all of a sudden disappear? Or, I mean, Skeletor he's a pretty predominant character, and for him, you know, to and then NYP to have him as Randall's brother, I mean, I would think they'd have a little bit more of a history or something like that, you know?
Yeah, I think with Skeletor, it's kind of crazy with him because I think originally, I don't know that he was ever intended to be a Gar. I think, in the early one, when we see him stepping through the dimensional portal and it said,
Right.
others of my kind, I don't know, is he talking about others of his race, such as himself, as bone-faced characters? But I think for Skeletor, that doesn't really work because I just don't envision a whole race of these bone-faced people as opposed to just having the one, Lord of Destruction who
Right.
is this way.
I agree with you with that. I think Skeletor is more of a one-off in that term, bone, like a fleshless, bonehead type of guy. But it's just he because they totally changed the story as time went on with him, his backstory, and another thing too is like the mini comic, The Search for Keldor, is that really Skeletor? Before he became Skeletor, like it's stuff like that makes you wonder as time progresses and more history we got with, MYP, the Eternity Wars, and all that, and the newer stuff.
Yeah,
It's just
Eternity War, that you got that same kind of thing. So you had like, the whole developed backstory of being Randor's half brother with the witch Saren, and some of that stuff. I mean, I think was kind of crazy, but I don't know. It works in that telling of it. I mean, I think it works in different ways in different canons, but to me, it's just Skeletor is just, the Lord of Destruction, and that's who he is.
Right. Yeah, totally.
But I can accept the other canons. I mean, I think there's some good story in that. But if you can stand to have your evil character, be changed around the way somebody else wants them.
Yeah. I mean, I when the well, like the original storyline for Skeletor was great. He was this overlord of destruction from another dimension, and it worked. It was really good the way that they did it then, and I totally dig it. But I also do enjoy the way that they twisted it around that he's Rando's half brother. I think that works, but in MYP and the MVC comics, unfortunately, they were like, the hands were tied and they kind of had to go along with what Mattel wanted them to do, and they couldn't do their own thing. So they both pretty much they had to stick with, I just lost my train of thought. I can't believe this.
With his canon, I got you. I mean, they had to stick with what was kind of
Yeah.
for him already.
I mean, it would have been cool to see, what Val and the rest of the guys in the MVC were going to do, especially with the Illumina, which is another Blueskin. She could have been another Gar as well.
Yeah.
That's something that, I would love to know more about that character, because it was so cool. I remember getting the comic, and the preview was, I think the last one of the last pages was with her and the panther or the big cat that she had with her. And I don't know what happened, but we never got to see that ever come to light, which so that's hopefully one day maybe we get in a classics figure. That's something that'd be really cool.
Yeah, I think there's still some of those out there, like some of those one-offs like that, you can definitely, if they ever get to a point where they're trying to find out, they're trying to make some characters and we run out of folks, which I just don't ever see that happening. But she's one of those. She has a white tiger, which is kind of crazy.
Right.
She's a melee fighter. I'm just reading about her. Parts unknown, but it does say she's a female Gar, worked for the unnamed one's agents. So pretty
Oh,
strange.
really?
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's kind of strange. I didn't know about that. So
Yeah, name one. So she would be. So,
pre-turning,
well, right.
and
So
it says basically that her mission was to intercept Hero 2 and the Mighty Spectre, who traveled there to protect the Sword of Power. So, she's sent in as somebody to stop the future, Hero 2.
right. So Hero 2 would be He-Man and Teela's son.
Correct. So I guess we're looking at, Mighty Spector traveling through time, that some of that creation for that character. So I guess that's where Illumina comes into play.
Wow. Where did you get this information from? What are you reading off of?
Dot org. I was looking at, I just looked her up on
Okay.
.org to see what we had there because I was not super familiar with her character. It was coming to mind, but I pulled it up to see who she was again.
Right. No, it's good to know because again, like, she's one of those characters that it's like to me, like Hero and Eldor. For years and years and years, you knew about this, the characters, the toys, and then we finally did get them in classics, and we are getting them now with the vintage
Vintage.
form, which is so cool. I think that's a great thing that, collectors who do love the vintage figures are finally going to be able to get those.
Well, yeah, I mean, because they were mentioned, so that's a big deal of
Yeah.
completing it out, so you want to complete what was supposed to be there.
Without a doubt. So that's exactly what I mean, like with the Illuminati. How would you say a name? Illumina or Illumina? Like
I got Illumina.
Illumina, right? Yeah. Because again, now she's, even though people might not accept her as canon, I mean, I kind of do because she's there. She's known. She's somewhat in the storyline. So to make her in plastic form forever would be an amazing thing to have. I mean, it's she's just like one of those weird characters that would be great to have.
Well, it's not. It's a lot like Sho Cody. I mean, even though Sho Cody had a much, more presence in the filmation and that kind of thing, but it's like having her. I mean, this sculpt for this particular character, the way that she's drawn, it would be gorgeous. And then you could have another battle, or not battle cat, but another, fighting cat because she has
Right.
a white tiger with her. So,
Right.
that adds to her creatures.
Exactly. Right. I mean, that'd be a pretty cool two pack for well, PowerCon already has the 2-3 packs that they that was shown at the Toy Fair, and supposedly there's more to come, but maybe in the future that could be a PowerCon exclusive or New York Comic Con or San Diego Comic Con or what, or even just some regular figure out there, which would be really cool. That's something from my own. I mean, personally, I would love to have that figure made.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I mean, well, she fits in, especially, kind of along the lines of what we're talking about. She's a Gar. So,
Right,
once
right.
again, that ties back to that whole conversation we're doing with is are there different people out there? Are there people that we don't know about, other pieces of the race that we've never heard about?
Right, exactly. And like again, like, and now you have Illumina that all of a sudden it came out of nowhere. Now, is she related? Could she be related? Maybe she's, He-Man's cousin. Oh, Adam's cousin,
Yeah.
it's something.
It's possible.
Yeah, well, see, okay, now I remember where I was going a couple minutes ago when I said I lost my train of thought. That was the one thing that I didn't really like about the NYP was that everybody was kind of somehow related or tied together. I didn't like that. I thought that kind of, I don't know, took away from something. I liked everybody being separated, like everybody being themselves and then being introduced into the storyline somehow. Not, I don't know, for some reason the 2002 time period, like they always had to tie each other in. Like Fisto is now related to Duncan, sort of. They never
Yeah.
actually said it, but they kind of, you.
Implied they were brothers. And
Yeah,
yeah,
right.
I agree with you on that, man. It's that was happening a lot, I think, with that series. And it happened a lot in the bios, I guess, with the need to make
Right.
everybody related. And we talked about that last week as far as the being related. But for me, it works for some characters. It doesn't work for others. Like, Web Store, I don't need like a whole race of these spider people. I mean, Web Store's he's pretty cool in and of itself. And could you have a female spider character that we don't have? And Merman, is there a female, creature out there like Merman? And I guess I always saw him kind of the same way. Like, I didn't really think that there was a whole another race of these mermen out there. It was just kind of like he was out there swimming in the Sea of Rakash by himself.
But we did actually,
Yeah, yeah.
there are a whole race of mermen, I guess, or have your sea people, whatever, whatever they're, I forget if they even have a name or not, but they're in that episode of, the Filmation episode of the one where Teela is trying to figure out who, her past or whatnot. I forget the name. I'm really bad with names, but I forgot the name of the episode. But that episode has the sea creatures in it. But it's funny because all the other sea people look alike except for Merman. Merman just looks completely different.
Well, yeah,
You know?
he's got to stick out.
Yeah, he definitely does. It's strange, but it's just again, I don't know. I just never really liked that idea that everybody was kind of tied in and related somewhat. I like the idea that everybody's kind of separated and come into the story somehow, by themselves. Again, like the same thing with the Fisto and Duncan being linked together. And in that episode, you had Fisto with the sorceress. And then. Again, it's just like so. Teela's actually Fisto's daughter. I don't.
Yeah, man,
It's like a dot.
it gets
It's
fairly
a.
confusing. We get into all that. Tila's uncle and Tila's true father,
Yeah,
and yeah,
yeah.
I
It's
found out
very.
the episode you were talking about was Tila's Quest, is where
Teela's Quest, correct.
one with Merman, and it does say that he was a king of the underwater lair, but in my mind, he's the king of all that's beneath the sea. So.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. Yeah, he's the Aquaman of the Masters Universe, or ne King Nemo, Nemo, whatever.
Yeah.
What's that? Yeah, something like that. But yeah, I totally agree. I see Merman as the king of underwater creatures. He is like the master of that domain.
Okay, let me throw another one at you. Let's throw this one out there and see where you can go with this, because this to me is a little off.
Okay.
Spikeore, what is the origin of Spikeore? What, you know?
That's a good one because honestly, I don't know. I mean, he just kind of I believe he just like pops up out of nowhere. Maybe he's an alien. But see, I like that. I accept that because that's cool. You have, a one-off character from another dimension or another planet. He could be, well, he is an evil warrior, so maybe he's like a pirate or something or running from the law, and but then at the same token, you can have like a guy like Rio Blast. That's how you could bring him into this story.
Yeah, the long arm of the law's got to step in. Yeah.
Right, yeah, you see, like that's something like that I think could work.
But I agree with what you're saying too, though, because with him, with Spikeor, like it's totally acceptable to me that in Eternia, which is a very monstrous, very wide, expansive place,
Right.
there are going to be races of creatures that the masters or the heroic warriors have not necessarily encountered before. So He-Man's out having, this leisurely stroll and hanging out with the warrior goddess Teela, and here are some creatures who are lurking around that he has not ever encountered before. So that works for me, especially when we get into like some of the one-off villains. I think that, or evil warriors, I think that works, especially, I mean, even like Triclops, the way that he's introduced, it's just He-Man's out and happens across this guy who is an excellent swordsman, and we don't really need to know anything more about that.
Right. Yeah, no, I think that's, I agree. I like that stuff. It's just it's but then again, you have, and then like with the 2002 era, everything like Man at Arms had to invent. He invented everything, which to me, I mean, okay, he's a smart fella. He can do things. I get it. But everything doesn't have to revert back to him. Like I don't believe he had anything to do with Manny Faces. in the vintage, in the original. I believe,
Best,
Manny Faces
yeah, best of my
was
recollection, he was created from Skeletor's magic. I mean, that was,
right.
you
Yeah, he was, because he was originally supposed to be an evil warrior.
yeah. So he, because Skeletor had him in such a bind with his magic, more or less, tearing at his soul of these different incarnations of who he is. To me, when I was little, it was always that, he had been pulled back and forth between all these different personas that finally they just all three just kind of stuck. And it was because of Skeletor's magic that had done that to him. So I'm cool with him being that way and being,
Right.
magically messed up, I guess.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I mean, man, well, I always had I don't know, a soft spot for Manny Faces. I thought he was a really cool, one of the coolest toys. For some reason, as a kid, that was, he just popped for me. I don't know if it was just the color. I don't know what it was, but he was one of my favorite toys as a kid. And as a character, I just liked him. I really liked, I just, I don't know, like the multi, the three different characters in one. For me, it was just so cool. But then, growing up and being older and understanding more, and then getting to know more about the actual character, he was an actor. And then he, again, he was supposed to be an evil warrior, and now he's, he turned, he's good. And Beastman can, he can use his powers over Manny
The big
Faces.
side.
Yeah, it's so cool. I see stuff like that. I like when they can interact with that. That I
Yeah,
like that
that's
stuff.
definitely for many faces, that's one of the things I think that make him a really, he's got depth as a character, because you have the human side that, I guess, the actor side, the human side that has these good emotions, and he wants to be heroic and wants to be a good, person. And then you have the monster side, and then the robot side for me was always sort of neutral and devoid of feeling, and just he was robotic and did what he was told. But then you had the beast side that he struggled, or the monster side that he struggled with. So
Right.
there was a lot of humanity in Manny Faces. As far for me as a kid, I always liked his character because it was such a strange struggle. So I don't think you need any more, as far as a race of people. There's to me, there's definitely not a race of Manny Faces out there.
Right. No, I like what you said. I agree. He was he kind of was every, like, he was a good, bad, and neutral character all in one person. And it was a really cool character that I believe Mattel, or I believe Mattel made him up. But he was, I mean, he actually, if you really think, he's a really complex character to have, at minimum, at least three different personalities. I mean, he can have many, many more and many different faces, but the three predominant ones is the human, the beast, and the robot. And I like how you mentioned that the human is the good, the beast is the bad, and the robot is the neutral. It's a very good way of putting him, I think.
Well, I think as a kid, I may, like you said, that's smart on Mattel's part as far as how he was created. Because as a kid, you're having a great day, hey, you got the happy face, and then things are going bad. You got it in the same toy, so.
The other thing too that was good about him was that, you can even the odds of the playing field. If you had, 13 good guys and 14 bad guys or whatever, you could make, Manny Faces as good or bad that day, or
If your
whatever.
battle royal is going down and you need one
Yeah.
more man for your battle royal, I mean,
Right. It's
he can
totally.
even turn mid-match, and just
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, he was a very good character. I mean, I don't know. Again, he just always, he just popped for me. And then another cool thing about him was when they made the Manny weapons, when he came with the five extra weapons later on. I saw years ago, I don't know who made them or customized them, but they actually made a figure called Manny Weapons,
Yeah.
and it was really, really cool. I wish I remembered where I saw it. That is a really cool idea for a character that Mattel or Super 7 should make. I
But
mean,
yeah,
I
did we not get him as far as like in the vintage line, did we not actually get a Manny Weapons? Like that was the one that came with the extra weapons pack with it?
Yeah, no,
Crazy.
it was many excuse me, many faces with I believe it was like the five reddish
Reddish brown.
yeah, the grayskull weapons, and I guess the fans just coined him the name Manny Weapons, you know. But I that the custom figure that I guess you saw him too. I mean, he was pretty really cool. I mean, I think it's a really cool idea if they would make a figure like that.
Yeah, so many different ways you can go with him, and I thought it was cool too, especially on the classic side, as far as putting in that extra, three heads, because
Yeah.
that part's crazy.
Right.
I like my Manny faces with a Skeletor head, so.
That was really cool that they did do that. Who did we get? We got Skeletor, Orko, and He-Man, right? That
Yeah,
was the
second head.
yeah. That was pretty cool that they did do that. It was the Skeletor one is I don't know if you're really serious, but that to me that was my favorite too. I mean
Oh, it is, yeah.
that yeah, that was it was pretty cool that they did do that.
I just think he looks menacing like that. I don't know. It was a cool sculpt, and I fell in love with it
Yeah.
when I first got it. And I was like, man, I'm just keeping him on that head. He looks awesome.
Yeah, that was a really cool thing that Mattel did, I think. That was one of the cooler add-ins that they gave us. But again, I would really love to see a Manny Weapons figure if they I mean it could be a completely new figure, just incorporate the weapon somehow, I guess. I mean, what would you do if you were gonna make the figure a reality?
He's got a lot of, to me, he's got a lot of bionics and things that are kind of a part of his suit and going into his outfit. So, to me, the bionic part is already there. So you could have some weapons in there, just that come out of his suit. I don't know. He does have a lot of skin, too. So it's making more bionic, maybe. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. I guess you'd have to have. I don't know. I guess what mood you're in that day. That's the way. You know what I mean? Like, because there's so many different things you could do. I mean, again, you don't have to just stick with the human robot beast. You could do whatever, however you want. I mean, or you could just make him a solid figure with only one head.
Yeah, I've
And
seen
just
some of those out there. There's some customs that I've seen that are kind of cool where they portray Manny faces with just the single head, maybe pre this happening to him or whatever, but I've seen some cool ones that.
really, yeah. I'll tell you, man. I wish. I mean, I did a little customizing back in the NYP days, because it was cheaper, I guess. And I don't know, but it just. I tell you, the guys who do it, man, I give them credit. It's tough. It's definitely hard.
Yeah,
I
to come
mean,
up with, especially to make it look, something that the fans can accept and like. And that, to me, I don't like to stray too far from the canon and the things that we, the way things were introduced. So if you're going to do a custom as far as with one of our sort of grail characters, the people that have been there forever, it's got to be fresh and new if you're going to step that far out of the box,
Right, yeah. I mean, for instance, like Light Hope, how Mattel did him. He was kind of cool, the transparent figure that they made of him. It was a cool idea. I've seen a lot of cool customs of him, completely different. And again, like they're. To me, the people who make the custom figures and actually like they'll have like a design and a backstory, and a reasoning for why they did this and
Yeah.
why they did that. Like, to me, when these guys do that, it just makes the figures so much better for some reason. It's because there's like history to it, like, and it sort of automatically just pops into canon. Like he's been there, you know, like
Well, it gives them a certain credibility. It's like, when we got different things that have been made as far as like Eternian guards and things like that, or like, for example, I guess Spector, and then going back to his story prior to, so you immediately get street cred because you have a backstory that fits into what was going on. And I think some of that, they were doing that on purpose to try to introduce the character and have him fit in. You know, like Grayskull Man, kind of same thing.
Right.
There's a mythos that gets created, and people will accept that because it fits. But in some cases, I don't need it. I just don't want it. But it's okay.
Yeah.
It,
Yeah.
everybody likes something different.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree. And but yeah, like, you know, like Castle Grayskull, man. You knew that. I mean, come on. What else would he have been? You know what I mean? I've seen like Snake Mountain men people have made. I've seen I remember even seeing like a Horde World guy, or I forgot what they named them, but
Yeah, from the Fright Zone. I saw a customer that.
frights. Yeah, I
Right.
seen there's so many different things. I mean, what these customizers do, it's crazy, man. I give them so much credit. And again, like I you know, I try here and there. Just but the thing that always gets me, I don't know if you ever tried it or did it, but the painting for me, like I never get it right, especially like where the joints move for some
Yeah.
reason. Whenever I do a figure and I start to move the joints, like it always cracks and comes off. Like I don't know how, what, and I ask these guys all the time, like Hunter Knight, and like, you know, like I'll ask them, man. It's just I don't know, man. I don't know what these what, how you make them
Well,
so
I've
they
been,
don't.
that I've never done customs. I'm not, I mean, I'm absolutely in awe of anybody who does that, especially because if you do that at that level and you're able to create that kind of you think out a backstory and you think out, I mean, I think that's some true creativity when you do that. But
Oh yeah. Oh
for
yeah,
me,
definitely.
no, man, the highest customizing I ever did was popping Fisto's armor off and popping it on He-Man. I mean,
Well,
there was my custom.
that's what it's there for, right? That's I mean, yeah, I mean, who hasn't done that? I mean,
Yeah,
that, you know,
man, that's level one customizer right there. That's all me.
yeah, I mean, well, it's funny because that's what I tell my son. He's into like WWF figures and stuff like that, and he's always asking me to. He wants to like paint his figure and do customs and stuff like that. And I'm like, come on, I don't want him to ruin his figures and stuff, so. You know, so I tell him, like, you know, just switch to knee pads and stuff like that. That's customizing. And he gets into it, but you know, again,
I add a waffle with every one of my characters, and that's just fully customized. Like you get a single waffle that comes with every character, and there you go. There's the Lucky Legends customized. That's it. That's all I got. Little plastic waffle.
that's cool. That's really cool. Yeah, it's I'll tell you, and the amount of time these people put into customizing figures and whatnot,
Well, it
I think
makes
the
you understand
create,
the price tag. You understand the price tag because with the amount
yeah,
of time
right,
that goes into work that goes in, and when you're sculpting things, and
yeah, definitely,
that's crazy. That's a lot of work.
yeah. I mean, and the design, I mean, it's easy just to slap paint on a figure and, you know. Yeah, that's but when these guys actually start adding you know, like robotic stuff, like you were saying before, things like that, and actually making weapons from scratch, I mean, this takes time, and it's not something that it just happens. I mean, it's stuff that it takes, you know, a chunky a day out or days to do this, perfect it, you know, because again, like I said, like I dabbled in it, and I, you know, I do from time to time, but it's tough. It's hard. You really, to mold that sculpty and play with it and make it into what you want it to be. It's a rough, hard process.
Yeah, man, that's an art. That's an art that I'm not skilled in that art. So mad props to everybody who does that.
Oh yeah, I definitely have to agree with you on that. And it again, it goes so much further, far behind just actually making a custom. Like when people, again, when these people actually come up with a backstory, or they're clever enough, like, you know, they'll something will be mentioned in a cartoon or an episode or whatever, and it's like a relic, you know, and then they make it into an actual custom figure. It's so cool that these people actually do this stuff.
Well, and that's why we can say, like, mad praise for Super 7, because there's a lot of things out there that I know everybody still wants. There's a lot of things that I personally would like to get. And so it's cool that they are doing some of that and doing some of that customize or not customizing, but creating some of these people that we've wanted,
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, for them to bring back the Eldor and Hero, I think is just above and beyond what they should be doing. I think that's just so awesome. I mean, if they go and actually do the Giants, Megator and Titus, that will blow my mind. That will definitely, because now you're actually giving the vintage collectors an opportunity to actually complete their collection.
Oh, okay. You're talking about doing them in a vintage scale like they originally were.
Right,
Oh
right,
yeah,
right.
man. I mean, that's why are those characters so sought after, and why are they so hard to find? Because, obviously end of the run we didn't make that many, or that popped up in a story that was a overseas story, so
Right. Yeah.
yeah, to see that be remade, and Eldor gives you hope for that, because or not Eldor, well, Eldor and Hero, because
Yeah. No, they do.
wanted those guys for a while.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, again, and then if they go even further, I mean, and well, we are getting with the PowerCon exclusive, the one pack is the supposedly like the next bunch of characters of figures that we were supposed to get.
Okay, talking the three pack with the
Yes, the
Horror and Aqua.
right. Those who are actually, you know, they actually have, they come from the Errol McCarthy card art, back card art. So those were characters that were supposed to be made. I mean, they're to me, it's just stuff like that is just amazing that we're finally getting after, you know, 30 years later, it's actually become a reality. I think it's just so cool. You know, again, well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
You get me going, man. You get me thinking on it.
Yeah,
Like, oh, I
it's
gotta tell you.
good.
But so it's kind of like the trap jaw on the Stratos, because to me that's something that I've always wanted, especially Trappy, as far as getting that mini comic,
Yeah, yes.
and that kind of thing, that sculpt. That's cool to me, and that's something that I don't know that we would have gotten that had we not gone in this direction with Super 7, because those guys seem to be really interested in the details of some of the old stories, and
Yes, yeah. Like the more
even
obs
the
the obscure
Stratos.
stuff. Yeah, without a doubt. That Stratos, I mean, it's just he
Man,
yeah,
that's
that
glorious. It's glorious.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, I'm not a big Stratos like fan, but to have that version of him, I think is really cool. I absolutely love that version of him.
But I think it completes some things, so it's like you saw it that way at one point in time, and maybe you didn't understand
And
why that was that way, and then boom, here it is, like you said, 30 years later, and they're giving a nod to that, and I think that's important, because they recognize the old mythos.
right. Yes, they get it. Again, you know, with the, they're fans. You know, they absolutely get it. I mean, for them to be doing stuff like this is just so out of the box, and it's amazing that Mattel, out of everybody, didn't do it themselves. I mean, it's not like the fans haven't mentioned it, you know, prior to the making this. I mean, it just amazes me that it's just taken so long, for the stuff like this to be made.
Yeah, I'm just glad we're getting it though. It's for me, it's like, yeah.
Oh, hell yeah, hell yeah. I mean, it's just a great thing to actually finally own. And I hope there's more to come, because there's probably so much stuff in the vaults that most people have never even saw yet. And hopefully, at some point in time, Super Seven can get access to this stuff and show it to us and make it. And I mean, it'd be so cool to actually own stuff like that. Again, if they do make the Giants, that to me is a complete nod to the entire collector of Masters of the Universe for so many years. And it's like a thank you, sort of, like, to me, like, something like that would just totally make it would make my year, it'd totally be well worth it.
Absolutely, man.
Again, I mean, what are your thoughts on the new vintage style She-Ra, Hordak, He-Man, and Skeletor that they showed?
Yeah, we touched on it a little bit, last time, talking about the fact that it's awesome that they did that, just because Super 7 tried, I feel like, to do something for everybody. So, you had the reaction figures, you've got the vintage, you've got the classics, and you've got, the Filmation line still. So,
And the muscles.
yeah, and the MOTU muscle in it. So, that's cool, I think, especially on that vintage stuff, because it's a couple characters that we wanted in that scale to look that way and never really got it. So, that's cool too, especially on the She-Ra. I think it's cool on that Teela sculpt. That's really awesome.
Yes, I agree.
About the length of her skirt, it don't matter to me. I mean, it's cool.
I'll be honest with you. I'm not too keen on her face sculpt. Supposedly, that's not the final of the figure, the final sculpt or whatnot. But I to me, I don't know. Something just doesn't seem right with that figure. I don't know what it is. Maybe
It
I'm
looks a
used.
little cheeky somewhat. I mean,
Yeah,
I don't know.
right. I don't know. Something with the face, just to me, it just didn't. I wasn't. I'm not happy with it. I don't know. Maybe I'm just. You're so used to the original of the vintage figure. I'm not sure what it is, but I don't know. I just I, to me, I just can't. I don't like the translation that they put with that figure.
Well,
The same.
it's beautifully sculpted. I mean, it really is, like, as far as the entire figure, it's just me personally, and of course, you can't make everybody happy, and especially,
Well, of course.
who gives
Yeah,
a
of
crap
course.
about me? But the point, I look at that, and there are a couple of things that I look at that I say, I don't know, I'm not, maybe not a fan of going that direction with it, but it's cool that we're getting it, and I like those, especially if you look at Skeletor and He-Man, those sculpts are just different enough that they're really interesting.
That's a good way of saying it. I mean, I like it. Well, to me, they're more Filmation and stylish to me. You know what I mean? Like, so you do have. They are different from what we have from the vintage figures, which is cool because they're not the same. If they would have done them the same exact, I mean, it would be cool, but it also at the same time it would be pointless. So for them to different to make them different, differentiate them, I think is really cool. And to make them more Filmation style, I think it's even cooler
Yeah,
because.
it marries up a little bit better with what you got on TV, because if you look at, like, especially Hordak, of course, having the blue skin and that kind of thing, but with Skeletor, you look close, you've got boots, okay? You don't have the clawed feet. So you go that route where he's the booted figure like he is in the Filmation. I think that sculpt on the cowl is a lot different. So that's cool, and the fact that He-Man kind of carries that same look, it's more, if I were a child, with these toys back when that came out, you're looking at it going, man, this is exactly what I see on the TV.
Oh, 100%, I agree. That's why I think it's kind of, I like the direction that they did do that. So you are getting like a variant figure because now it's the Filmation version in the vintage figure. So to
And
me, it's
it doesn't feel like a cash grab, because it's one of those things where, yeah, man, we love He-Man and we love Masters of the Universe, and the truth is, like, us fans, we're going to buy pretty much anything we can get our hands on because we want it, and we want to keep it going, and we feel like if we're buying those things, they'll keep making more, and that's awesome. But it doesn't feel like a cash grab at all because it is, like you said, it's almost like it's a variant, and it's a very cool variant that goes along with this thing. So I like it, man. I like the direction of it.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of variants. I mean, I am and I'm not. I am.
I mean, you weren't like the big fan of Jungle Attack He-Man and
see, that's exactly where I was going with this. See, stuff like that with the 2000X variants when you had like the multicolored Mechaneck. I mean, stuff like that was just pointless. Or Jungle Attack He-Man. I mean, I never got into stuff like that. Like even like let's just say like Batman. Like Batman would have like crazy variants. Meanwhile, there was only one Batman. The same thing with He-Man. There's only one He-Man. But I have to say, in the 2000X cartoon, they did have I forgot the name of the figure now. But the Snow man,
like
what the heck?
Ice Armor He-Man or.
I believe that's his name. I saw him.
I don't
right.
know. I think I've seen it.
No, yeah, he's actually in one of the cartoons, which is, and to me, that's the coolest variant of all the He-Man and that they ever made in all the different types, in my opinion. For some reason, he's bigger, he's taller, he's more muscular. I don't know what it is about him, but I just love that sculpt that they did for that figure. But a lot of variants. To me, it's like you said, cash grab. Like, I'll pass on it. You know, like, I don't need to have it. I'd much rather solid figures.
Well, that's another thing, too, that I think the original toy line did well. You kind of, when you did introduce a variant, okay, so you go from regular He-Man to a Battle Armor He-Man.
Right,
you had a story of why that happened. So,
correct,
He-Man had to draw on a different power of Grayskull that gave him this upgraded thing, and so Skeletor drew more evil, and he got this upgraded thing. So those things made sense. So it made sense to have that character because you could act that out.
Right, and it was just so cool at the time too with the battle armor changing. that was so
that
freaking
is
cool.
Amazing toy still yet.
Just amazing. But as time went on in any toy line, it's just some variants to just get, it's so crazy. And it's just so, I mean, it, first of all, most of them are never seen ever in any situation. They're just made up to sell as a toy. And to me, as a collector, it just doesn't work. I just never really got into variants that way. If it's needed, yeah. Like one thing I always wanted to see, supposedly they had Horde Armor He-Man that was supposed to come out like the next season of MYP, which would have been awesome. That I would have loved to have.
Oh man. If you go from Snake Armor He-Man to Horde Armor He-Man, I mean you have to because you have to go in that direction with Hordak. He's gotta have some special power for Hordak. I mean,
without a doubt. And that was just so cool. Like, I mean, the Snake Armor He-Man was amazing. And again, I'm not one for variants,
but well done.
It definitely was. And they incorporated it. They used it. It wasn't like they did. It was very well done. I like you said, I liked it a lot. And the gimmick was really cool. Like that thing on his arm. That would come out
kid, and get the snake.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Very well done. The only thing I didn't like was the toy. The sword was so ridiculously gigantic and huge. I just wish they would have did the sword a little bit better, and they would have included his actual shield.
Not trying to like make anybody upset or anything, but that a lot of people like the 2000X sword or the 2002 sword. For me, I just don't. I think the original incarnation of the Power Sword looks better with He-Man.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
I don't know. I'm not even a big fan of the NA sword just because it's not – I mean, and maybe that's just me. It's what I grew up on and that kind of thing. But I don't know. It's to me, I just don't like it. I would have loved to have seen the Snake Armor He-Man, and especially if you pop a classic's head on him and give him the original sword. I mean, he looks wicked. And then
Right.
throw that snake armor. Did they make a snake armor shield? Somebody, there was a
I
customer
have it.
made of that.
Yeah, I forget who it was because it's been years, but
Was it McEvils, maybe?
who?
Mike McEvils, was it
I
McEvils? Was
don't
that?
think so. I think this is no, I don't. He might have made it for the new version, but I remember back in the day when MYP, when 2002, 2003, whenever that character, the figure came out, somebody did make them, and that's when I bought it. And I remember I had to paint it myself. I don't think you could. You might have been able to buy it painted. I don't remember, but that's something that was cool that they did back then. Again, now we're talking about customizers. It's amazing how they come up all the time.
So let's wrap it back around to the races, and we'll go with this. I think time wise, we're getting there. But so I got another one to throw at you. We kind of
Sure.
did the evil stuff, but let's talk about this. How do you see Man at Arms? Is he a green skinned individual? Is he a human? Is he a race of those individuals, these green skinned folks, or is that just simply a suit that he's wearing?
Right. That's a good question because it does kind of look like it could be his skin.
In the vintage toy, and I may be wrong. I don't have him right in front of me at the moment because he's somewhere over here hiding. But I know in the classics, he does have the green hands. He has, so it's intentional that his hands are actually green.
Right. See, that's good. Wow. I never actually thought of that. I mean,
Maybe
I had.
we'll table that question and talk
Well, no.
about
Well,
it.
we could. But I mean, that's a good question because. That's what do what's your idea? What's your idea? What do you think? Because I'm kind of on the spot right now.
Well, early on, I guess in my young take on it, you see him cruising up on the battle ram, or you see him out at his place where He-Man, the tribesman, has now found him, his good friend Man at Arms, and
Right.
he is, to me, in that depiction, a green skinned individual who is kind of barbaric and has these large fur, things over his arm or on the edges of his armor, and he has the cape. And it just feels like he has a human face, but he doesn't feel human to me.
Really? Wow. It's that's I'll tell you, man, that's you're pretty you got you're stumped. You stumped me because it could go either
Could
way,
go
man.
some pretty cool ways. I mean,
Yeah, he could be a green skinned human, or he could just it could just be like a skin suit, skin tight
Yeah,
suit.
cyber enhancing, but maybe his Eternian magic, or not his Eternian magic, his Eternian science that he's working with. I mean, maybe he has made a green type cybernetic suit that enhances his strength in some way. I don't know.
Yeah, it could, or he could have made like a cybernetic skin
Yeah, overlay.
type of, yeah. That just opened up so many doors. I mean, if the fans have any interactions or anything to add or say, I mean, please,
Oh,
by
I'd
all
love to hear some
means.
feedback on that.
Yeah,
Love to hear what
yeah.
people, or even people's take of, did you see Manny Fa or Manny Faces, Man at Arms as a human? Did you see him as, I mean, because a lot of folks, he's Duncan, and that's cool too.
Right.
But for me, the early, Man at Arms, and here he is. So I don't know. That's just my take.
I mean, I see him as a human. I always saw him as a human, without a doubt. But that doesn't mean he's not a humanoid. He could
Right.
be like, again, like, this is a question I've never actually talked about with anybody or thought about, really. I mean, it's a good question. It's a good, topic. It could definitely, I mean, I would say if anything, it would be like a skin tight, I don't know, like skin tight shield, or maybe something that could like enhance his strength, like you said. It's something, so some it could be some crazy invention that he made.
Yeah, so it would be cool, I think, if anybody, if the fans are listening to this and have their own sort of take on what they think, let's talk about that or get some feedback from everybody, and then talk about it next time and say, hey, you know, this is what so and so thought, and I think that's
Right.
cool.
Yeah. Well, wait, quickly, like, what do you think? Like, what's your take on it? I mean, you brought it up.
This just for me, I don't know it. It has always felt like that was just his skin, and it, and I've always felt like too. I wondered, you know, like right at his neck, it does it fade into a human color into his face, or is it? He was just always sort of a green humanoid to me that had a just a normal face. So I don't know. That was just always kind of my take on it. But then the more that I've thought about that over time and read different, you know, incarnations of him and what he does, then it feels like, okay, the attorney and guard wore these green, you know, outfits, so maybe it's just an outfit, but I don't know.
Well, again, then, you know, like, he could have created this green muscle
Cybernetic suit.
suit, cybernetic suit, whatever, yeah, however you want to put it, and that's why the guard wears it, because, you know, I always saw him at, I mean, you know, they say Teela's the head of the guard or whatnot, but I don't know, I always see Duncan sort of as like the general, you know, for some reason. I mean, they kind of they all dress the same, you know, like he's in that they like they're all in that uniform. So I don't know.
I tell you what's
That's a
interesting to me though, it too, and I grabbed my figure off the shelf, but I'm just looking at
yeah.
Snake Man at Arms. Okay, so Snake Man at Arms, he's still in his plastic prison, but through his beautiful window, you can see that
Right.
on his sculpt for his arms, there are like some cybernetic looking wires and types of
Okay.
things. So maybe they were going that way. I don't know, because that sculpt is so different from the one that just regular Man at Arms has.
Right. Yeah, it's been a while since I picked that one up. Yeah, that's a great thing to talk about. I would love to hear what people have to say, because it's strange. It's definitely a question that's really I've never heard anybody talk about. You know, everybody just always assumed that Duncan was just a regular human, and you know, but
What if?
the
What if?
but yeah, because you're 100% right. The fit all the figures we have. His hands, everything is green except for pretty much like his chin to his forehead,
Yeah.
you
So
know?
that I think that's probably what stuck me as a child. I mean, having that vintage figure and him just being green, you know, this is Man at Arms skin color, you know.
Right. Yeah, that's a damn good thing to talk about. Wow. Do you have any other things you want to like crazy like stump the questions? That was really, really good, man.
Thanks, man.
That's
It
a
bubbled.
whole topic in itself, you know?
Yeah, we could touch on it. I mean, that's definitely. I would really like to hear what most other folks think, because it's something that pops in and out of my mind sometimes, and I do that with some of that. But nah, man. What do you got? What do you? I know we've kind of tarried on longer than what you intended. So we'll redirect if you want to. And what do
All
you want?
right, yeah. I mean, we could wrap it up if you feel like. Did you have any?
Oh, it's up to you, brother. I'm perfectly fine. We can talk about Masters all night.
Yeah, we could do that, but you know, let's. I guess we could wrap things up. Do you have any final things you want to say before we say goodnight?
First, I really just appreciate you guys having me on, and Dirt, and what you do to get everything set up there, man. Appreciate that, and it's been really cool. There was some cool feedback from last week, and it was awesome to get the waffle groups, the Waffle Mafia involved. And you know, ask the mafia what they thought, and there was a lot of cool feedback going back and forth. So that was fun, and I appreciate you having me on Ozone. It was really cool.
No problem, brother. It's always good to have friends around, you know. Yeah, so with that being said, you know, thanks for being on, and you know, wait till next week when Andrew comes back. We'll have to see what he has to say about the green skin, because I'm sure he well, at least he's got a week to think about it. Yeah, I'm sure he's going to have some interesting things to say. With that being said, I just want to say thanks to PopCultureNetwork.com. Go there, check it out. You can check out the past episodes of the podcast. Check out Masters of the Galaxy Facebook page. Check out He-Man.org. Check out He-ManWorld.com. Until next time, guys, rock on, bro.
Yeah, appreciate it. Y'all have a good one.
All right, man.